When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Apartment 4D, the podcast all about New Girl. I am here live and in person with Heather.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe.
Hello.
Who took a bad opportunity to take a drink of water.
Yeah.
And me, your host, Jill. Thank you for bearing with us while we were on Zoom. We promised to try our best never to be on Zoom again.
We know it was rough.
It's not the same.
No, it was rough for us, too.
If you guys are mad, be mad at Joe. He's the one who moved.
Broke up the band.
They won't be because Joe's the favorite.
Yeah.
So we're here today to discuss season 2, episode 20, Chicago. And as always, we will start by passing the feeling stick around. I'm going to start if it's okay with you guys.
I don't have an issue with it.
I'm so excited because Variety is having a New Girl reunion on, well, I don't know if it's on Zoom, but it's virtual. You can watch it online. June 8th through 10th. I'm not sure which day the reunion is. And it's what we've always wanted. The whole gang back together. You know, kind of. We'd like some episodes. But the talk on the internet is from fans. They're thinking that the reunion where they discuss the show is going to be so popular that they're going to want to do a reboot. Someone's going to want to do a reboot.
Ooh.
And my favorite thing about this is, like, Hannah Simone posted it. And I don't know if anyone else did yet. But instead of making his own post, Lamorne shared our story about it.
Gotta love Lamorne.
Every time I'm like, oh, man, that guy's never coming on the show. He throws me a weird bone. And I'm like, nope, he still knows about us. He still cares. So we're very excited for that. Thinking about recording a special post-reunion podcast. What I'm hoping is that someone says, I wonder if there's New Girl podcast, and Lamorne remembers us and tells them about us, and we get all the followers.
I think our podcast is why they're doing the reunion.
I mean, obviously Variety is following us on Instagram. Joe, did you bring a feeling stick?
Nope, I don't got anything this week.
Okay. Heather, did you?
I did. I have one feeling stick item. There's a new, fairly new show, started about a month or so ago, on ABC, and it's called Home Economics. It's adorable, and if you're a fan of Schmidt's mom, she is on it as the grandma.
Nice. Good feeling stick, Heather.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's discuss this episode, season 2, episode 20, Chicago. Netflix description is, after a death occurs in Nick's family, the gang travels with him to Chicago, where his friends help him with funeral plans and meet his eccentric family. Guest stars from this episode include Margot Martindale, who plays Nick's mom. I've always thought of her as a comedic actress.
No,
she's in Dead Man Walking, Million Dollar Baby, and there's another one. I forget.
A very dark one with Julia Roberts.
Yeah, it was with Julia Roberts. Yeah, yes.
Pretty Woman?
No, it's super dark.
That one
would
have been.
I don't recommend it.
On the tip of her tongue.
Yeah.
Okay, also we have Bill Burr, who plays Bobby, who is Nick's brother-in-law, it appears. And the grandma, who's played by Ellen Albertini something. Can we read handwriting? Sorry, guys. She's in Family Guy, The Wedding Singer, and Shameless. Heather, I know you love The Wedding Singer.
Who is in Shameless?
The grandma. Nick's grandma was in Shameless.
She was.
It's weird, though, because I put on here, is that the old lady from The Wedding Singer?
It is.
It is.
The older woman.
Yeah.
Well, why does she look the same?
Yeah.
Wedding Singer was like 30 years ago.
Well, I think they made her up to look a little older in that.
And
they probably just like left her alone.
Good costume design.
She's actually deceased now.
Oh, rest in peace. I love her.
And also we have Nick Kroll, who plays Jamie, which is Nick's brother. And he's been in 1,000 things. I'm not going to list them all. I think we're all pretty familiar with Nick Kroll. But fun fact, guess who's met him? Me.
Oh, Nick Kroll?
Yes, he was in Uncle Drew. He played like the bad guy. And as I mentioned before on the podcast, I don't remember why, but it came up before. Caden, our son, interviews celebrities and athletes on his Instagram. Go follow him, Caden Center. And he interviewed him and Lil Rel Howery together in a group interview. And Nick Kroll was so nice.
Oh.
And his eyes in real life are so beautiful. And I handed each of them Caden's business card as we exited and said, follow him on Instagram. And Lil Rel did, and Nick Kroll did not. But so other than that, I liked him.
Well, Nick Kroll's probably a busy person.
No, everyone has enough time to follow my son. Okay, so let's get into the episode. We're at the loft, and Jess comes in with balloons with all sort of weird things written on them. Nick comes in, gets entangled in them, and in a fight with them when his mom calls. The gang, other than Nick, start to suck the helium out of balloons, which I hate. I hate that so much. And Nick comes in and tells them his dad died and is talking to them, and no one says anything. It's very awkward. He's like, are you guys going to say something? And as they hug him and comfort him, they have the helium high-pitched voice.
But... yeah, that was classic Nick, where he starts fighting with the balloons.
Yes, and then they get wrapped around his leg.
And then I only knew to look for this because you once told me that where Tran is swimming with Jess and Nick, that you could tell Max Greenfield was really, really laughing.
Yeah.
Okay, he is actually really laughing in the first scene here.
I noticed that, too.
Because you can tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, do you have any thoughts on the opening scene?
Oh, I thought it was a buzzkill when Nick said about his dad.
Yeah, definitely. You know,
but then,
that's a harsh way to describe a death in the family.
But then they have the helium voice, and it's, well, aren't you guys going to say something?
Yeah. Like,
sorry.
It was really
the comedic timing on that. And you got to remember, that's something where they have to suck that balloon right before they talk. The helium voice only lasts for seconds.
Yeah.
And actually, in that scene, that's funny Joe says that, because I watched it and thought, gosh, wouldn't it have worn out by now? That was a while for Nick to be talking and then for them to still have the helium voice.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I didn't want to laugh because it was, you know.
Yeah.
But I laughed.
I will say, in general, I don't like when sitcoms deal with death because I don't think it's funny. But this is an important... I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this episode.
I mean, it was kind of... I think they needed a way to introduce Jess to his family.
Yeah.
So,
And as we see her supporting him, it all makes sense. It's just not my favorite.
Yeah.
So, we're in Chicago at Nick's house. And outside, there's kind of like a little interaction between Winston and Nick. And he says that Nick's dad loved him more than him. He told me. And Nick goes, yeah, he told me that too. We found out that Schmidt lost his bag and he really wanted to look good for Nick this weekend.
Yes, he did.
And then they warn Jess that Nick's family is a little bit crazy. So they walk inside. And Heather, I know you're going to appreciate this. I've never caught it until this episode. But the brother and brother-in-law are arguing about if you call soda or if you call it pop.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Which, like, our dad
and
his family from back east used to call it pop.
They did?
Yeah. So, Heather won't notice this.
No, what I noticed was the brother said, I got the napkins.
Yes.
For the funeral.
Yes. So, it's complete chaos. We find out nothing's done. And the mom says, you know, Nicky will take care of everything. He's the man of the family. Jess introduces herself, and the mom immediately doesn't like her and says, is she Spanish?
Yeah. I'm not sure if that was appropriate.
And she goes, I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
We find out that it needs to be an Elvis funeral, and Nick has to do the eulogy in addition to planning it. And Nick Kroll yells from the other room, do it, college.
I didn't catch that either.
So funny. So fast forward to Nick in his family office, and Jess asks if there's anything she can help with. Is he having time to process it? And he says, oh, yeah, great. You can do the eulogy.
Yes. And he also is stressing out. He says, a white Elvis is out of reach.
Yep. Out of reach for the budget.
Too pricey. Yeah.
So then we find out that Schmidt is in one of the rooms of the house trying on one of Walt's suits.
Just really funny is when Jess suggests Elvis themed music.
Oh yeah, except for the mom gets so mad.
Yeah.
Or no, maybe that, no, that was Nick who's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so Schmidt is trying on one of Walt's old suits, but it has too many buttons and he looks like a remote control.
But as Joe pointed out to me, not buttons. Buttons.
Yes. That's how I, at work, I say buttons and kittens just to bug one of my coworkers.
You also say mittens.
I do say mittens.
Well,
yes.
One of the funniest things in regards to the buttons was when he said, I can't figure out this middle class button system.
Yeah. Oh my God, I didn't catch
that. That.
Yeah.
I forgot. I didn't write that down.
Because he was all upset about the buttons everywhere. Oh, I got buttons everywhere. I look like a remote control. And then he's talking about the middle class button system. Once I figure out this middle class button system.
Well, and I don't want to jump ahead, but I like when he gets stuck in it and he can't get it off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
So we find out that Schmidt doesn't actually want to go to the funeral because he's scared and he doesn't like open caskets because why should he have to see the carcass?
Right.
Like it's an animal.
Exactly. Not my favorite humor. More on that in a minute. Mm-hmm. So Jess asks the brother and the brother-in-law some questions about Walt since she's trying to write the eulogy. And that's when the exchange about the gold chain goes down. Mm. And the brother-in-law is like, no, that's my dad's chain. And it's just the funniest argument because it just emphasizes the seediness of Walt. And then they ask Jess if she's hooking up with Nick and, like, raise their eyebrows nonstop.
Right.
So, like, a brothery sort of thing. Yeah, realistic.
Well, the best line on the gold chain was when...
The dishwasher deal?
It was Nick goes... Well, the gold chain, it was like floss, but thick floss. You know what I'm saying? For the thickness of it.
That's at the end of the episode.
Oh, during
the eulogy.
Oh,
yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
I thought it was when they were sitting on the couch.
Oh, wait. No, wait. Hold on, Joe. I'm sorry. Maybe you're wrong. But Nick's not in there. So it was one of the brothers. I think it was Nick Kroll says it.
That's what I'm saying. Nick. Oh, that's the Nick I met.
It's confusing because there's a Nick in the show.
I know. Yeah, not Nick Miller. Nick Miller didn't say it.
So we'll call Nick Kroll Jamie for the purposes of this discussion.
Sounds good.
So Schmidt and Winston decide to do a practice for what to do when you're by... a dead person. So Winston pretends to be dead. Schmidt comes over and says he always thought they'd be rivals for Nick's attention and for who wore Easter colors best.
And he calls him a beautiful black butterfly.
And then when Winston turns to say thank you, Schmidt freaks out and is like, you scared me. Now I'm really not going.
And then he says, you ghoul.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So Nick is on the phone and his mom comes in and is throwing questions at him while he's trying to be on the phone. Jess tries to help, makes it worse.
Well, he wasn't just on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the line of the episode for me.
Oh, what was it?
Because he goes, Nick, if you listen, and maybe closed caption captured it more than regular, but Nick goes, $2,000 for 6 feet. Well, how much for 3 feet?
Yes. That did happen.
That's funny.
You know, and you know, 6 feet deep for the grave
right,
or three
you have
feet.
To, yeah.
Yeah. So he thought he'd get half price.
Yeah. 50% off. So it's obvious a very stressful situation for him. And that's when Jess has to gently lay on him that she doesn't really think she should do the eulogy. And they kind of have an argue. The brothers are fighting. And he ends up just taking off after he gets his coat.
And the grandma tries to defuse it by offering people weed.
Yes.
She's funny.
They put her, she's very typecast in her role.
She is. She's awesome.
Well, Nick says to Jess, and this was another great line by Nick. He's like, and not Nick Kroll, Nick Miller.
Yeah.
He says,
oh my God.
He says, Jess, I'm not asking too much. I'm just asking you to write my dad's eulogy.
Yes, exactly.
Like, he thinks the eulogy is like, you know,
the
being
potato
the,
salad.
Yeah, or being the, you know, the person the who napkins. Brings, who sits people at a funeral or something, you
right.
know, something.
Usher.
Yeah, like an usher.
Or who pushes people down
in the
wheelchair.
Not the person who's going to be the main contributor to the, you know, the atmosphere of the, you know,
event.
Funeral. And
right.
Yeah. Can it's set the tone.
The eulogy is the main thing.
It really is.
Yeah.
It is. So now we're at the funeral, and the group can't find Nick anywhere when he shows up drunk with a very sketchy-looking, quote-unquote, Elvis, and says, don't worry, Jess, I did what you told me to. I wrote the gigliography. And when someone takes it out and reads it, it says Walt Miller. Am I right?
And then there's a huge picture of Walt.
With the lights.
With, like, the lights around.
And I noticed, too, later, Schmidt holds up the program to his mouth. And you could see,
that was what I was going to
all stuff I never
about.
Noticed the first time I watched it.
Okay, all right. Well, we're siblings, so we like the same stuff.
So Jess immediately takes charge, gives everyone an assignment, and tries to go sober Nick up. But before we see what happens with that, we see the brother-in-law. Let's see. His name was Bobby. Going in, trying to steal the chain off a dead man.
Typical.
I know it's a sitcom, but, cringeworthy to me.
Yeah.
Schmidt has no choice but to walk in because no one's there. And Bobby says to him, beat it, Callie. And he goes, Long Island, son.
Yes. And he wants to see the body before the funeral.
No, he didn't want
like,
to see
like
it.
Like a wedding. No,
he
said Jess goes, that's a wedding
and
thing.
And then Jess
yeah.
says, no, that's
yeah, he said
the bride.
They said, come over here. And he said, I can't because it's bad luck for me to see the body before the funeral.
Okay, gotcha.
So they get in a fight, and Schmidt ends up with his head. And again, I don't like any of this part. smushed into the casket. But that's when he realizes he's not afraid, keeps sticking his head in and out, and says, all day, son.
Yeah,
what's up? Hilarious. All day, what's up?
Yeah,
and then Bobby's like, dude, you're freaking me out, leaves, and he saves the day, and Walt still has his chain on that's like thick dental floss.
But I can, you know, I can kind of relate to Schmidt's dilemma there. Because when you overcome a phobia, I mean, you are ecstatic, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, really? You know, like... Like, for instance, I used to get birds in my house when I was in college. I hated birds.
Really?
I'd call my roommates, get that bird.
Would they go down your fireplace?
Get the bird out of you. Yeah, they'd fly in.
Like, more than once?
Back east, the bats go in with no problem. Oh. Yeah, especially if your, what they call it, a flute is open, it'll fly right in. So then you got to get it out of there.
That's terrifying.
But then, finally, there was no roommates home, so I had to do it myself. And I'm like, I had like a 4-foot broom. So 4 foot between me and this dove, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna get this dove out of here, you know? And
then,
and you're just kind of hitting it, mm-hmm. and it kind of waddles over. But then once you get it out, you're like, that ain't so bad. And then you're ready for the next thing, you know what I'm saying?
First of all, let's hope PETA's not listening.
Yeah, I don't think PETA listened.
No, there was no animals harmed in the transmission to get the dove out.
No, the dove flew
so
out.
So here's a hot tip for everybody, because I work at the Humane Society. One day I was dropping Caden off at elementary school, and this teacher came out. There's a bird in my classroom. I don't know what to do. And Caden goes, my mom will know what to do. She works for the Humane Society. Well, I do marketing. So I was like, So I called the humane officer. He's like, it's super easy to get a bird out of anywhere. What you do is you turn off all the lights, you close every single window, the glass, the blinds, and you leave one exit point open, one window or one door, because they fly towards light.
Well, and I could have used that 20 years
ago. That won't work for bats. That's what I did. And everyone for days acted like I was such a rock star.
Super
and then they're like, oh, we call you the bird lady now. And I'm like, hard pass. I'll take Caden's mom.
No, but when I was a freshman in high school, I didn't know how to open the lock for my locker.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I learned, and I couldn't stop doing it.
Did they have keys? They had keys when I went to school there.
Well, not for PE.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because your combo lock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Combo.
I never had to do that.
Do I go past the number once or twice?
Right.
Or do I go left? How many times?
Caden and I had to learn that together, and every day during PE, when I knew he was in PE, I would start to panic. Like, what if he can't get in his locker?
He didn't have a key one?
No, they don't even use those anymore.
Oh, they don't
use those. I think that was just
anymore.
A private school thing.
Maybe. Oh, okay.
Okay, so we're in the bathroom of the church or chapel, wherever we are for the funeral, with Jess and Nick, and they have a talk, and she's like, you know, I have your back no matter what, no matter how stupid it gets. I was going to be there to hold your hand, but you ran out before I could say it, and it's a really touching moment.
Yeah, it was touching.
When we see Winnie is with Nick's, Winston, but she calls him Winnie, is with Nick's mom, and she's like, you know, this is a disaster. It's starting late. He's like, I'm going to go up there and say something. So she says, keep it light and happy. And honestly, whenever I think of Winston's character, even though this isn't my favorite episode, I think of this scene where he's like talking and being light. He looks at it, and he's just like throwing himself on the podium, crying and bouncing off it. Just cracks me up for some reason.
It's very funny.
Well,
what I
like is how the writer made the voice still screaming in the background, because it cuts to the next thing, which is Jess is the fake Elvis. It cuts to the next scene, but you can still hear Winston yelling and screaming.
Well, she's in the room with him, so
because it didn't hit him, and that's so true too about what we do in everyday life, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing hits you until it's real, right?
Why?
Nothing hits you until
it's
real.
Nothing does.
You hear about rattlesnakes. It don't hit you till you see one rattle in front of you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Or a bear. You're like, oh, it'd be nice to see a bear.
Oh, there's our bear.
It's not so nice to see a bear.
Yeah. No, it would not be.
This is where I tell our honeymoon story, if I hadn't already.
This is a situation that he had to see it, and then once he saw it, he just kind of freaked out. And
exactly.
It overtook
too much. Because when you're in the situation, it's totally different than a hypothesis of being in it.
So as Joe alluded to, Jess comes in as Elvis, right as the mom's about to cancel the funeral, and starts singing. Nick comes in while she's singing and sees her and smiles, and it's so, so sweet and so cute. And Nick walks in. And while the mom's trying to cancel it again because of Jess singing, and is like, no, our dad would have loved this. And ends up giving what's so important about eulogy is that it was honest and true to the person, not necessarily making them sound like someone they aren't. Which is so weird, because I just watched it's embarrassing to admit, but the Dawson's Creek episode where Andy has to give a eulogy at the really mean girl at the school's funeral, and she finds a way to be honest and really honor her. And I was like, this is a little heavy. It was the same day. This is a little much for me.
A little intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as Nick is finishing up his speech, Jess holds his hand, and you can see the mom's reaction that, you know, she can see that they really care about each other, and she appreciates that she's there for her son, which I really liked. And then everyone starts singing, including the mom, and Winston feels like he was really transported to the ghetto.
Yeah,
or not Winston, I'm sorry, Schmidt. So that almost wraps up the episode. We're at their house and everyone's leaving, and we see that Winston is visibly wearing a hat that's not his because it's Pop Pops, as he calls him. And when he takes it off, it's filled with things he was going to steal.
Of Pop Pops.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the mom tells him to keep everything and then gives Jess some snacks.
Oh, and that's
how we see that she's broken through, and now she likes Jess and is excited that Nick has her.
And this is important. There is a minute in that scene, a moment in that scene, where you see Nick and he is gazing at Jess and the mom. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
It's when they hugged, yeah.
Yeah, it was a beautiful gaze.
I did see that. And then I thought the funniest part of that scene is when Nick's saying bye to the mom. And she goes, oh, I'm so glad you got someone to take care of you. And they're looking over at Jess. Uh-huh. And she's trying to open the cheese puffs bag.
Yes, cheese puffs. I thought it was carrots.
Because it's one of those bags that you got to get your fingers in there.
Yeah.
You
know, well,
I think it's because her mittens are on.
Like a
problem.
Ziploc bag, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And they can stick in the middle.
So, yeah, that's the girl taking care of you. You can't open cheese puffs.
Right.
Then Jamie comes out and asks when Nick's getting married because he's under the impression brothers have to get married in order.
In order.
And we end with some nice Elvis clips and singing.
And fun fact, in that clip, once again, Max does his natural smile.
Yes. Or maybe he's just a really good actor.
No.
Oh, okay. Heather thinks he's a bad actor.
He's a good actor, but I know the difference in his smile.
So that brings us to our favorite Jess look. Mine for sure was the black funeral dress with the belt at the funeral. Joe, what was yours?
The Elvis uniform.
Costume.
Yep.
The Elvis uniform.
Heather, what was yours?
Well, the Elvis uniform was great, but I actually went with her pea coat because for once, she's in proper pea coat leather.
Yes, not Los Angeles.
Yes.
Let's do best dressed of the episode. Heather, why don't you keep going?
I had kind of a tie. Winnie B, because he looked so great in Walt's hat.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I had
to... He did
to,
look cute.
I would be remiss if I didn't give a nod to Jess in the Elvis suit.
Yes, which is funny that it would fit her, because she's a very small girl.
That was one of my discussion questions.
Oh, sorry. Pretend I didn't say it. Joe, best dressed character for this episode for you. For
probably Nick, because Nick finally had to put a suit on for a funeral.
Yeah, he's worn a suit a few times.
Weddings and stuff. Okay.
My best dressed was actually Winston, but it was for his look at the funeral. I just thought he looked real handsome in his suit.
He did look handsome. Okay.
Favorite Schmidt moment, Heather.
Well, I know it was totally inappropriate, but when he was saying, all day, son.
Yes, that's actually mine, too.
Yeah, I didn't want it to be.
No. Joe, what was your favorite?
I would say when he was practicing the eulogy on Winston.
Vying
for
hilarious.
Nick's attention.
Easter colors.
Who looked better in Easter colors.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny because it all tied in with Schmidt's character this episode was anxiety over death.
Yes.
Because if you never experienced it before, which apparently he hasn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's many ways you react to it.
Right.
And his anxiety was just, the meter was through the roof.
Yeah.
So you see him going through the process of trying to, you know, contain that anxiety.
Right.
Yeah.
And the eulogy was just a great depiction of that.
And he's a mess, but you can see that he wants to be there for Nick.
Yeah.
And, you know, of all the things to happen to the guy.
Yeah.
His suitcase goes missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first thing that he was anxious about.
Yeah.
And then the buttons, right?
Oh,
the remote control
buttons.
Suit. He was
Middle
all
class.
Upset about that.
Also, they didn't stay for that many days, so did he really need to check his bag? Like,
oh, I'm sure he had casual wear.
Wait, hold on. I forgot. Let's talk about Schmidt.
His OCD side definitely showed up.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So there was a zero on the jar count this time. And we're going to go with favorite funniest moments from the episode overall. Joe, what was your favorite or funniest moment?
I like when the brothers were sitting on the couch and they were interrogating Jeff's.
Totally.
Jeff's. Yeah. That like, was a good
with scene. The eyebrows, and she's just like, what?
Especially Bobby's eyebrows, because instead of going up and down, he's making them like alternate.
Oh, I know. Those were funny. Yeah.
Heather, what was your favorite or funniest moment?
Well, I don't know why, but it completely slayed me when Winston is up on the altar and then Schmidt holds up the program.
Yes.
And it says Walt on it.
Yes. With the lights around
and
him.
The attention to detail there. It just got me.
Absolutely. So I did something different. I did a favorite and a funniest this time. Ooh. Because my favorite moment is the bathroom scene where Jess says she wanted to hold, she would have been there to hold his hand the way they look at each other. And then when she actually holds his hand later. Ooh. But my funniest, like I already said, was Winston's crying at the funeral and flopping himself around like a fish out of water. Right. So funny. All right. That brings us to Honey Roast Award.
Ooh.
Joe, let's start with you.
Okay.
The best character here.
Or prop, as you've pointed out to us.
Or prop, I think, is going to be Schmidt.
Mm.
Okay. Because I think his the story of his anxiety and trying to deal with the time of disaster. And you know, it's funny, they all were dealing with it in their own way. Nick was dealing in his own way.
He didn't know
a lot of the protocols of the funeral.
He's
you know what I'm saying?
Definitely didn't know the cost, out. Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right. Like, he didn't know that you can't ask for a 50% discount and dig 3 feet down. You know what I'm saying?
That was crazy.
I mean, so they all had their different ways of dealing with it. And I thought Schmidt, that the way they depicted him from the eulogy to the all day,
yeah.
You know, that was great, great depiction of his anxiety.
Absolutely.
Nice. I always like to see Schmidt getting a honey roast.
And
especially
speaking of,
since I could not give him one.
Ooh, who is your honey roast?
I kind of pulled a Joe, and I went for, but what I did something interesting. I gave my honey roast to the props people of the show because of the waltz sign
the
matching program. I mean,
who thinks
of that?
Yeah. There's a lot of detail in this episode.
Very detailed.
I am giving it to Jake Johnson / Nick because he had a wide range of emotions, and I feel like they're portrayed accurately instead of his, like, kind of, you know, Nick, like, yelling, screaming sort of things.
Yeah.
It was very, like, more realistic.
Ooh.
So I like that. I did not find a bear, and I'm very frustrated because in whatever room the guys are in trying on Schmidt's waltz suit on Schmidt, which I'm assuming is like maybe Nick's old room, there's like a gorilla poster, like a truck. I was like, it's gotta be in here. I even rewound it. Nothing. Did you guys find it?
I didn't.
No.
But good catch on that, Nick, how the emotions were in him being his usual
self. Yeah, because he just, like, screams a lot.
Yeah.
But this was, like, more muted, and you could tell he was stressed out.
And he took the leadership role in the family.
Someone messaged us about how they can't wait to, like, get further. They just started listening to the podcast. Get further, because Nick really, when you think about it, has one of the most amazing character arcs for growth on the show.
Okay.
And like, this is, I think, one of those moments of a little bit of growth.
It's like a sneak peek.
Yeah. So that brings us to discussion questions.
Ooh.
Joe, why don't you kick us off?
Well, I think mine is in regards to, since it's an episode of death, right? So we got to talk about anxiety of it.
Oh.
And if you remember the first time you had the choice of going to a funeral or not.
Oh.
And how did you deal with the anxiety of it? And hopefully you didn't run into remote control suits and everything else.
No.
But,
well, we're girls. Luckily, I did not.
But, you know, maybe it's just you held on to a family member a little bit tighter, or you didn't want to stray from that circle a little tighter, or you just didn't want to go into the room where the showing was and just wanted to hear the eulogy.
So you're talking about your first funeral.
Yeah, first funeral.
I have a story for that, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a positive experience. So my first funeral, and you were there too, pal, I was in eighth grade. That was the first time I had gone to a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for, like, my granny's friend, but she was like a mom to my granny, and her name was Honey. And we were pen pals and, like, BFF. So I was 13, she was like 97, but we were BFF. And so I don't remember, like, really if I was nervous or anything like that, because it was a long time ago.
But what I do remember is her son gave the eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote that the last thing that she heard was he had picked up her mail and read her a letter from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that her grandson was there. So, like, the two young people in her life. So, it actually made it a positive for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was like, oh, well, little things do matter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I understood that her age and she was at peace.
Oh, yeah. So I was, like, in third grade then.
Yeah.
So I don't remember that. But I will say that, like, I know when I was younger, like, they're, like, they feel weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, like, somewhat recently I went to a funeral for someone who wasn't a family member, which I think was my... Well, but anyway, the thing about funerals is if there's any discomfort, I think it's good to battle through it because you feel better after the funeral's over. Like,
yeah.
You're still sad the person died, but I think there is something to be said for, like, closure or whatever.
When you come
or
out
getting
the other
a chance
side.
To say how you felt about him or, you know, and so I think that it's important, but I don't even remember what your question was.
how did you deal with the anxiety?
I don't remember.
How I dealt with it was actually through humor. And
okay.
And one of the things for the eulogy, and I remember one of your uncles at your grandpa's funeral, he's like, I was the youngest son, and I was the music guy, and yeah, I was just a real joy to have, you know. But he talked about his doctor brother and all these other accomplishments.
And
he'd always kind of like self-deprecating himself.
Humor. Okay.
You know, that kind of humor. But
right.
But that's the kind of stuff that really puts you at ease at a funeral. That's what
breaks the ice.
Yeah. I've been to funerals where nobody shows up in a suit. And it's like bikers and tattoos and stuff like that. Because that's what that guy was, you know? That was his life, you know. And I'm the only guy in the room in a suit. What's going on here? But then the jokes come out and people start laughing.
Aww.
At first, it's the sadness, as we all know. But I think it's the humor. And it sounds kind of weird, I guess.
No,
but
right.
That's the way I deal with life, really,
is
I find the humor in things.
Right.
And so when they start cracking the jokes, I just think that's great. And that's how I deal with anxiety.
Well, when you see someone crying, what you try to do is crack a joke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point, Joe. It almost like that's kind of the line that divides the funeral from what we now call celebration of life. Because then we're sharing funny stories and good memories.
Yeah.
And we're laughing and not crying as much.
Good question,
All right,
Joe.
Heather, discussion question?
Yeah, I have... okay, well, we already went over one. How did the Elvis suit fit Jeff?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that made no sense. Okay. And then this really bothered me. Why wasn't Cece there?
She's not friends with Nick. They actually make a point to... show that they're kind of not that friendly. Like when he comes back from his trip and with Megan Fox's character, if your name right now,
mm-hmm.
and he walks in, he yells everyone's name and no one answers. He goes, fine, Cece. Like another time he doesn't have her phone number.
Oh, okay. Well, because what I wrote down in my notes is if she came really to go, it's like seems on paper like you're supporting Nick.
Yeah.
But really, given Winston's feelings toward Pop-Pop,
mm-hmm.
you're actually supporting Winnie B, too.
I don't know that she's particularly close to Winston yet, either. You got to remember, this is early on. I think you're thinking of what you know about them all together. I think it was in Los Angeles.
Oh,
she would have shown up. But they flew to Chicago. They stayed in someone's house.
Right.
And I don't think that's her scene.
You know, kind of before the era of Winston and...
Yeah, they haven't had their first mess around.
Winston and CC mess around.
Well, technically, we think they have because Thanksgiving episode, but...
Yes. Okay, so those are my discussion questions.
Okay, so mine's more a discussion statement, and some of the things you guys said right now made me feel a little bit differently about it, but I'm going to say it anyways. I just thought the whole time I was watching it from start to finish, although I do think Schmidt has a tendency to make things about himself, so this was on brand, whether the anxiety was real or not, but I just didn't see him dropping the ball for Nick. No matter what the anxiety is, no matter what the barrier is, he loves him. He had a Tinfinity anniversary party with him. He thinks of him almost like their relationship is almost like a romantic relationship. It's one of the strongest relationships. And so I just thought, I was just disappointed in his behavior because there was some, you could say it was legitimate anxiety, but then there was also some just like making it about him.
I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
Because
I think that that's part of why he was... Okay, first of all, the fear of death. Mm-hmm. That's never fun. But part of it was he was under all this pressure. Like, oh my gosh, this person I love's mm-hmm. dad died.
Yeah.
How do I... You know, what can I do? This is terrible. I think he was just... And then his luggage gets lost and he mm-hmm. is Schmidt. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just like... He was just like, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed.
What do you think, Joe?
I see it both ways. I mean...
Yeah, I think in the context of the show itself... They needed it,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
there's... from romantic scenes to death to, you know, friends challenges, this show always has a way to mix in the humor.
Yeah. And where else would you get the humor?
Yeah, yeah, and take the heavy side of something and just make it lighter.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm also going to add...
We'll do that as our Instagram poll.
Nice. Yeah. And then another thing that could have been going on with Schmidt, too, is... Okay, so Nick's dad's dying. He's a second dad to Winnie. And I wonder if Schmidt's thinking of his own relationship with his father contributing to his turmoil.
Okay, now I'm not as mad at him. Good job, Heather. That was deep.
Thank you.
All right, then that concludes our discussion about this episode. We'll see you guys next week for season 2, episode 21, where, great news, we will still be in a room together because we're recording it in 4 minutes.
Yeah. See you in 4 minutes.
Oh, and also, we're at like 6,400 followers on Instagram. I think when we get to 10,000 to celebrate, I'm going to do a bonus drop episode, either that day or two on a Monday. So I would, if you guys haven't followed us at apartment_4D, please do so. And we'll see you guys next week. Have a great week. We love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody. Bye.